The other thing I wanted to say before I get going is, and I'm really excited about this one, but that's just the geek in me. We have a new Facebook page, and we have had a Facebook group, and now we've got a page. So if you don't know what that means, you have to get on and check it out. It's really nerdy, and I'm so happy that we're a part of it. But yeah, find us out there on Facebook and like our page. We've got some of the photos that you saw here today, this morning, are up there, and there's some other ones. And so that'll give you a little bit more of a taste of Community Days, our involvement there. And all the events that we've got upcoming, all these sorts of things, we're going to be talking about it there on the page. So go out there and like us. Secondly, before we get going, just have, I guess, a little bit of a disclaimer. I'd like to have a little bit of a different kind of a discussion with you this morning than on most Sundays. I just like shaking things up a little bit, if you haven't noticed. A preacher friend of mine once told me, I preach the cross every Sunday. He said, if I preach anything other than the cross, I'm not doing my job. And I like that. I like that. God's love, His grace, His mercy in the form of the cross of Calvary. Preaching this is what I believe to be my calling as a preacher. That's what I'm here for. That's what I'm up here for. We talk about the cross. We talk about what Jesus did at the cross. And we talk about the cross and what it should do to us as well, don't we? But this morning, I'd like for you to remember that the cross is still our focal point, and that's why it hangs right there as a focal point in the middle of the room. So I'd like for us to not only keep our hearts and keep our minds on that cross, but this morning, I'd like for us to also go to our Lord and praise His name for that cross. Amen? In fact, this morning's message is not going to just be a message on praising the Lord for His salvation, but for His place as God of the universe, for who He is. There are all kinds of places that we can go in Scripture. There's all kinds of places we can go, especially in the Psalms, to see about what the Word of God says about praising Him for who He is. It must be important. It must be important that as God's people, we are people with praise on our lips. Are we? Are we that kind of people? If you take a brief look through the Psalms, just flip through, just at glance, we can see that praise to the Lord, it's the ultimate antidepressant. Works quicker than any pill. Try it sometime. You might be surprised. It doesn't matter the circumstance. So let's look at one example. Would you turn with me? We've spent a little bit of time in it. Gerald read a little bit out of it earlier. But let's talk through Psalm 146. Just one example of what praising the Lord can do. And as we do this morning, I'd like for us to keep those three little words on our lips. Will you say them with me? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's try it one more time. Praise the Lord. That's a little better. Well, we start things off appropriately enough with exactly what we just said. Verses 1 to 2. Let's say it again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. So what more can we say? What more can we say except praise the Lord? There's one resource, it's called the Dictionary of Biblical Imagery. It gives us this definition. It says, to praise God, when we do this, we call attention to His glory. That's what we're doing when we praise the Lord. It gives us some alternate words, some synonyms. It gives us words like bless, exalt, magnify, thank, confess. Elsewhere in Scripture, for example, the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verse 11, the prophet says this. He says, for as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. So this sounds like praise is going to happen at all points in time by the people of God. It's going to be there. It's a sign that His people are His people. There's some other points in eternity. Eternity is a long time. We can look at Revelation chapter 4, 11, chapter 5, verse 12, chapter 7, verse 12, virtually on and on and on in the book of Revelation. We can see that the redeemed in glory, how long will they be praising God for? An eternity. Because praising God is what humans were created to spend eternity doing. It's where it all starts. It's where it never ends. So it's fitting that 146 would start in this manner. As long as I live, says the psalmist, I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. So dads, keep on singing those praises in the shower. Because, you know, your wives and your kids and your family pets, they may hate it. They may hate it when they hear it, but God appreciates it. This morning, we sang Hallelujah for the Cross. We sang Awesome God. These are two examples of praise, to be sure. And how many of you were singing along this morning when we had the words jiving? While we have our being, while we are alive, while we are warm and breathing, may we be warm and breathing for the King of Kings. Bless, exalt, extol, magnify, thank, and confess Him, because it's what we are here for. It's what we were made for, to praise the Lord. Now verse 3 continues. It tells us this. This one's kind of hard on the ears. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man, in whom there is no salvation. And sometimes we're guilty of that, aren't we? And I don't think we mean to be, but I think when we're honest with ourselves, I think we find we too often put our trust in people too easily. You know, with a heavy heart, we watch as our favorite athlete or our favorite politician or even our favorite evangelist gets caught in scandal and is disgraced before our very eyes. We're dealing with people, sometimes even the best of us. Remember David? Remember David? We all have our weak moments. Sometimes I think we get so caught up in putting our trust in people, we don't even think about it. We get upset when a guy on TV lets us down. We get upset by it. What a shame! You know, this guy's being let go of by Hewlett-Packard or whoever. Too often we get encouraged to look at certain individuals, often the wrong ones, as role models. Don't put your trust in princes. Don't put your trust in a son of man. Don't put your trust in the top of the heap on this planet. Anybody on planet Earth, we're all temporary here. Verse 4 gives us this reminder. When His breath departs, that's all of us, everybody in this room. When His breath departs, He returns to the earth. On that very day, His plans perish. That's a hard pill to swallow. That's hard to remember. We like making plans. We like making plans. I'm reminded of what Jesus says in Luke 12 in the parable of the rich fool, it's called. I'm reminded that we make plans for tomorrow. We get caught up in that, and we like to put them in our phones. If you're like me and you've got the next 12 years all planned out, you know, in your phone, oh, let me check 2024 and see if I can go out to lunch, you know, on May 23rd. Because the Lord is the keeper of tomorrow. Tomorrow. Not 10 years. Tomorrow. Today. Later this afternoon. That's hard to remember. So all the work put forth by every man-made organization, every religious cult, that pyramid scheme disappears when the top of the pyramid collapses on itself. So every last plan we have for ourselves goes away the day we die, when we stop breathing. So no matter how good the advertising is, we don't put our trust in a son of man. In men. Who shall we put our trust in? Who do we praise? Say it with me again. Praise the Lord. Let's continue on in our text. Let's continue on. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. You know, back at the beginning of Psalm 146, from the beginning we were given the who. We were given the who. Now we're given the why. Now we're being told the why. We're reminded by the psalmist that the Lord is God. He's the God of the patriarchs. Now, patriarch is a fancy word. Preachers like to use it from behind the pulpit, and all it means is the men that God used to establish the Israelites. We're talking Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, guys like that. These are the patriarchs. So the Lord is the same God worshipped by the patriarchs, that Jacob worshipped. The one who worships him has the same hope that Jacob had. And then we move on. Our text gets into creation. We're reminded of God's sovereignty in the action he had in the beginning. As if we should need to be reminded that he made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. As if we should need to be told over and over again who our great God is and what he has done. But we do. We do need to be reminded of it, because we forget. We forget. How easily we forget 2 Corinthians 5:17, God's our creator and therefore he can make a new creation out of us. He's done it before. He's our creator. Just as he made new creations in the beginning. We need to be reminded of this. Charles Spurgeon comments, "He who made heaven can make a heaven for us, make us fit for heaven. And the making of the worlds is the standing proof of the power and wisdom of that great God in whom we trust." You can think back to creation as a reminder. We got to keep creation alive. Thinking back to our focal point, the cross, perhaps we can be reminded of its power by being reminded of what God does at all points of beginning. He makes something out of nothing. Something out of nothing. For each of us in this room, he can make something out of nothing. Praise his name. I've heard it said about a certain rock group, a certain world-famous, traveled-the-planet rock group. Now, this particular group, they were incredibly successful. They kept a following. This following has covered multiple generations. It's been said about this group that it's not that they were the best at what they did. It's been said that they were the only ones at what they did. Now, I think this is debatable when it comes down to what mere men come up with, but there's no doubt in my mind that God's not just the best at what he does. He's the only one who does what he does. Only God made it all. Only God can be our hope to redeem it all. And Psalm 146 goes on. It goes on with a few specific examples of how he does this. How does he do his redeeming? How is he at work? How is he busy? The end of verse 6, keeps faith forever. Who executes justice for the oppressed. Who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. I'm curious, you know, at what point while reading the scripture does it dawn on us maybe, wow, all the very best things I've ever thought of as being traits of my heroes on this planet are kind of summed up in verses 6 to 9 of Psalm 146, right? Now, when I look at what the Lord does, it kind of takes me back a little bit to when I was a kid. I thought, man, that's neat. Superman did all this stuff, right? Sounds like super. Well, some of it could be done by Superman. Maybe other parts of it. Setting prisoners free. Maybe that's Sylvester Stallone. Didn't he play in that movie? Or 18 sequels of that movie? Upholding the widow, upholding the fatherless. That was a John Grisham novel in the 90s, wasn't it? I've read that one too. But open the eyes of the blind, I'm getting stumped now. Open the eyes of the blind, that you don't just come across that one. If you didn't know we were talking about the Lord, which kind of hero would you think would cover all this ground? I mean, they're running for president next year, right? I think our heroes are pretty flimsy for the most part, aren't they? Pretty flimsy. Even the very best heroes, superheroes we can come up with, fictional characters. What's really sad about the best superheroes that we come up with is eventually we get so bored with them, we have to start getting them involved with each other. So we have Batman versus Superman. I don't understand that. Those are both good guys. But our Lord is no fictional character. He goes far beyond any fictional character that we could even come up with or anything our imaginations could ever come up with in the first place. And he gives true freedom. True freedom better than any freedom fighter. He restores, he rescues much faster than any bird, plane, or Superman. As little kids, there's a time that we latch onto heroes. We look at heroes. We look at superheroes. We find them in the comic books. We find them on TV. But eventually, we must accept as adults, and it's hard. Maybe the younger we are, the better we are. There's only one hero big enough for the evil of this world. And we have a pretty impressive list here in Psalm 146. Creator, executor of justice, feeder of hungry, freer of prisoners, restorer of sight, lifter of the low, lover of the righteous, watcher of the sojourner or traveler, upholder of those who have been abandoned, and ruiner of the wicked. That's a big God. He can do all that. Wow. The Lord our God is all of these things. He's infinitely more. Infinitely more. There's just no comparison with anything or anyone we can come up with. We praise his name. We say it with me again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Then we come to the end. We come to the end of Psalm 146. And this is the promise that maybe I like the best here out of this whole list. We're told that the Lord, by his very being, he's infinite. He's eternal. And that's important. That's important. It's important that we're reminded who the Lord is in relation to who we are. We're going to talk a little bit here about verse 10. Verse 10 says, "The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations." And just in case you read that part with me, O Zion, and you're not sure what that means, let's talk a little history for just a moment. It's important to understand what's being said. See, Zion was originally a fortress in the city of Jerusalem. It was seized by David. 2 Samuel 5:7, we read about it in Scripture. Zion/Jerusalem became the, quote, seat of power in Israel. And Scripture, at some point, even starts to render Zion synonymous with Israel itself. We have Zechariah 9:13, which says, "I will stir up your sons, O Zion." By the time we get to the New Testament, we have Peter quoting the prophet Isaiah. 1 Peter 2:6, he discusses Christ. He says, Christ is the stone in Zion, a cornerstone chosen and precious. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. And one more scripture for you on Zion. Back in Lamentations 4:2, we read, "The precious sons of Zion, worth their weight in fine gold. How they are regarded as earthen pots, the work of a potter's hands." Well, who are these people? Who are these people of Israel? /Zion. Well, it's the church, right? The church today. The church today. The sons of Zion. How are we doing at letting the potter work on us? How are we doing at praising the name of the one who is to reign forever over Zion? How are we doing at giving him the glory like we should as his people there? I like the following commentary. Christ is set as king on the holy hill of Zion. His kingdom shall continue in a glory that knows no period, cannot be destroyed. Cannot be destroyed by an invader, shall stand forever and ever. It's a matter of unspeakable comfort that the Lord reigns, that the Messiah is over all things. It's also an unspeakable comfort that the Lord's reign is eternal. Eternal. But do we call out to him? Do we say, praise the Lord this morning, or hallelujah? This is what this term means, as this psalm closes in the same way that it begins. And that's perhaps the coolest part about Psalm 146. Did you catch it? Praise the Lord. It ends with praise the Lord. Brings us right back to where we started. You know, as children of Zion, my prayer for all of us this week. Here comes the fun part this week, the challenge. Here comes the fun part. My prayer is that for all of us this week that we call out, praise the Lord. Just perhaps a little bit more than we did last week. I don't know how your week went this last week. I don't know how often you let out a few expressions like praise the Lord or hallelujah. PTL works too. PTL works. You know, shorthand like you're texting. PTL works. Sometimes it's difficult, you know. Sometimes when you don't get the tent quite up all the way and it starts the downpour, it's tough to remember PTL, but will you join me in the challenge to call out, praise the Lord, to our great God? You know, no matter what's happening, no matter where you find yourself, you know, we have those peak experiences, we have those mountain experiences, those times where we're at the highest hill, and then we have those times when we're at the bottom of the deepest valley. Praise the Lord anyway. Praise the Lord especially. I pray this week that we remember that praise is only meant for one. And we're going to spend an eternity calling it out to him. Let's get started today doing that. Pray we remember who he is, what he's done, his glory, what he's continuing to do. Even when, especially when, we get sidetracked and forget who we are in relation to who he is. There's a book of Psalms that can help out with that. Maybe Psalm 146. Maybe it can remind us to praise his name, for only he is God of the universe. And I also pray this morning that you've been blessed by our look through Psalm 146. Before we go to prayer, would you say that with me louder than we have before? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Oh God, you are an awesome, awesome God. God, we praise your name. We praise you for who you are. We praise you for what you've done, for what you continue to do. We praise you, O Lord, you are our Maker. We praise you, O Lord, you are our Redeemer. We praise you, O Lord, for a love that we can't even begin to understand. Lord, I pray that this week we are reminded of your holy name. We are reminded of who you are, your presence in all of our lives. Lord, I pray that we have the courage to not follow the world into idolatry, to not follow the world into the latest and greatest, to not follow the to follow the world into the things that keep us from you. But I pray, Lord, that we have the courage to praise your name only. Even as the times get tougher to live in, Lord, you are there. You are eternal. And Lord, I thank you for the promises you have made us. I thank you for how you have revealed yourself to us in your holy word. Lord, I pray that if there be anyone out there this morning that doesn't know you, that does not call upon your name, that does not call to you as Lord of their lives, that they would have the courage to call on your name. I thank you so much, Lord, for your love, your mercy, your grace. And it is in Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. Again, we have an invitation for you. Again, if you have not lifted your life up in praise as a living sacrifice, that you will praise the Lord with all you do and all that who you are. Now's maybe your time to come forward and say, "Yes, Lord," like we sang earlier. If you have a public decision you would like to make this morning, we invite you to come forward. Please stand. We're going to sing 368, All for Jesus.